programmer's poem. ORM, rest, upsec, moo, and the scary smelly grew. You know how down at the CPU level, you have to talk in ones and zeros, XOR and AND? We created a nicer language above that. Like C, where you can nest functions. You can build entire nested trees of functions. You can have an absurd function that contains insert or update functions. If data in whatever the program is using is missing, then we insert. And if it's already there, then we update. That's kind of how Wikipedia works, kind of. So absurd encompasses multiple functions, and it is pretty readable. Now, on NCC level, we have to define things. You can't just say name equals Alice. You have to define a name array, an array of characters. And remember to make room for a string terminator, because knowing the number of characters is not enough. To store the five-letter name Alice, you need an array of 6 characters for the name and the string terminator character. It is a good language, but we invented better. We have languages where we can just say name equals Alice, and everything will be taken care of for us. Even better than that, we have languages where you can say name equals evaluate name equals Alice return name. This is called an evil statement, and everyone is scared of it, because you are running code inside code. You are dynamically evaluating code. Though you never use it in production, evil is a sign of a healthy language. If a language prevents you from evaluating code at runtime, then it is a language for cubicle workers, crafted to control the coders. JavaScript is a very free language. It will let you add a number to a letter, and it will probably return the sum of the number and ASCII code of the letter, but it may also try to concatenate 2 strings. Who cares? Whatever. This language does not try to control you. It will let you do whatever the heck you want. Even if it is something crazy, like adding letters to numbers, which is also crazy awesome. And a sign that corporate has not yet meddled with the language standard too much. Once some big corporation steps in, they will strip the language of the easy mistakes that people can make. Then they will load it up on cheap computers and give it to all the high schools. Then wait for students to graduate college and then charge them for the enterprise version or for business use or for some business license or cancel the language because they have something that will generate more profits. You have to stick with the rebel languages. That is what everyone else will be doing, unless they get trapped in a cubicle. Then they will spout how evil eval is. Because in order to believe that their world language is good, they will fight to make all other languages look bad. Now, there is another bump here, because the web browser is not only awesome and popular, but powerful enough to let you build a code editor. It means you can edit code in a web browser and not need a code editor. Java, a language different from JavaScript, is slow and bulky basically for no reason. Web browsers are somewhat slow and bulky for beautiful reasons, which also means JavaScript. There was a time where it was unwise to use JavaScript on the server. It was possible, but not very wise, as it was a young and slow language. we had Perl and PHP, while Microsoft was murdering their once pretty languages for something that they felt was better. It wasn't. It was only different, not better. But people who do Microsoft will absolutely attack me for saying this, though they may notice by now that Microsoft killed IE, that Visual Studio Code uses a browser, probably Chrome, but I don't care. I don't care about any of that. Corporate will make mistakes again and again. It is what they do. Perl is beautiful. Writing Perl is very much like making jewelry. It makes OOP look ugly. PHP is useful, full of interesting libraries, and its OOP looks very pretty. It flows like water. It's good for you. But the moment Node.js came out, which is JavaScript for the server, all non-JavaScript languages kind of became outdated, and certainly became outdated in the context of the web. Because you can now have code in the same language, both in the browser and on the server. Which is to say, if you write your server code in PHP, and your browser code in JavaScript, you are just weird. Like, why would you want to recreate your objects in some other language where you can use the same one? People used to get angry when I brought this up, as in, how dare I tell them what language to use? I was merely telling them the truth. Same language, client and server. And it just happens to be the language that is not babysitting cubicle workers. It has evil, and it lets you add letters to numbers. This is a sign of a healthy language with a great future ahead. Now, of course, Microsoft came in and made their own version of JavaScript. Guess what feature they added? Yeah, the whole count letters of your name thing. They laced JavaScript with strong typing. Call it optional, call it JavaScript. No, it's not. You know, some could call this cubicle worker Kool-Aid. The typing is only there to make the code editors pretend to be useful. The variable type information will allow for fancy dropdowns and a measure of error checking. If this was 1995 and Windows 95 just came out, it would be neat to look at, though probably not actually use, unless you really had to. This language is called TypeScript, by the way, as in data-typed JavaScript. And to me, it is hilarious, as it is a step backwards to make their programmers brain less, as in think less. About things that they are doing. So JavaScript is still fine, they just modified it to make their own thing and kind of pretend it's still JavaScript. There was briefly a flash of CoffeeScript, a JavaScript alternative with unusual syntax, though TypeScript will last much longer because of all the money that it makes. It will eventually fade away like CoffeeScript did. Who needs a branch of JavaScript? Follow the evil statement, as corporate will always destroy the language to make profits and get raises. That's what corporate is for. Profits, not protecting languages or making them better. But JavaScript is still not good enough for us. There is something better. Though this time, that something better is written in JavaScript. It is a JavaScript programming pattern, so it builds on top of the basics of JavaScript. And here, I have to mention databases. We cannot use files, because as far as multiple users poking at the keyboard at the same time, files live in a world of adding numbers to letters. There is simply no good answer for who saves first, files are for single users sitting at their computer. Files are not good in multi-user environments. There are ways around it. You can use mutually exclusive logs or folders named as the files with versioned GUID named real files that need manual version conflict resolution. But if you can't just save a file simply, normally, the way it was meant to be, just let it go. Use the databases. Databases use tables. A table is like a spreadsheet. You add rows to the table, and each row has cells. Each cell will have a name that is based on how the column is configured, and yes, it will have a type, but this time for a good reason. They aim to be efficient. So you define the username column to be short text, and if you have a description column, you define it to be long text. There will be an error if you try to add a row that has a username that is too long. That is why websites sometimes tell you, "This field cannot be longer than 255 characters." YouTube, for example, has a 5,000-letter video description field in their database, and I will need to cut this poem shorter to paste it in there, to say the least. You see a kind of a divergence here. Moment ago, we had JavaScript where Microsoft disgraced it by making a copy of it with data type limits to make their IDE IntelliSense nonsense work better. But now we are adding databases that have limits. We are adding it for a good reason: save storage of data. That is a very good reason compared to making debugging less crappy in TypeScript. In fact, a language without good connection to a database is not a good language, and manually communicating with a database like we used to do in Perl days was pretty ugly, and for many caused security issues, as in SQL injections, which are usually pretty serious. Now we have this thing called ORM in a language as wild as server-side JavaScript. What ORM does is let us use JavaScript objects, very simple and very pretty things, to completely, I'm saying completely, hide database stuff away. We are talking here about code that is prettier than what is normally used for saving text files. What ORM stands for is mangled English that sounds too technical. It doesn't matter. What ORM really translates to is cute JavaScript that takes care of all the ugly database work without you needing to think about it too much or at all. So you just make an object like user and say, user.name equals Alice, user.email equals Alice@example.com, and then user.save. And it is saved in the database table called users. It's fantastic. ORM also lets you create relationships between such objects. So you can say Alice has many articles that she published. And in a table called articles, you will find Alice's user ID and her article content, along with all the other IDs of other users. And the Alice object will be smart enough to only give you articles with Alice's ID when you ask for them. I mean, yeah, there's a relational database behind the object, and we establish a relationship between user and article. A one-to-many relationship, to be precise. But this is completely abstracted away with our sweet, sweet JavaScript. By the way, this relationship is using a join, as in join two tables together on user ID. So the user ID in the users table and user ID in the articles table come together to create a kind of a virtual record that contains all fields from both tables. But you don't have to think about it, like at all, because ORM loves you and it takes good care of you. But we need more. We can't forget about the web. Because all of this is happening on the server, and we need to bring this stuff safely into the browser. So on top of ORM, we have to add REST, which is another technology with another mangled name. There is a sister technology called GraphQL that all the big companies seem to be using. And while it does solve problems, I don't think anybody sat down to ask, do we really have those problems? Anyway, I won't tell you what REST stands for. It's just more mangled English. This technology is good for working with the ORM because we can have a user/1. And this will give us Alice, as she happens to be the first user. We can also say user/1, article/1, and that will give us the first article that she published. We can get more creative here, and there is a good way to expose ORM information under REST in a questionably creative way, which can be beautiful. But the best way is the automatic way. So here, you are just creating your objects that automatically take care of the database in the ORM world, and you automatically get all of that stuff exposed as paths in the URL and can easily access it with a browser. You get everything above making those objects for free. You get your database taken care of, and your website exposes all those objects automatically, uniformly, and in a way that you don't really have to memorize, because you just kind of figure out the pattern and go with it, and it always works. See, you don't need a better IDE, you just need a better IDEA. I can't laugh at that, I'm sorry. But we need more, because we can't just expose all the user information to the internet. So there's an extra layer here. We need to give users abilities, the way they can have articles. One ability they always get is updating their own address field, though they are not quite allowed to update their email address, because that needs to go through a verification process. We want to send an email to the old account, just in case someone forgot to log out of a public computer, and hopefully they didn't have their email open as well. We also want to make sure the new email account is working and the email is correct, and that the user can click on a unique URL that we send them. And of course, you can already tell, things are basically breaking down for us here. They aren't really automatically emerging out of the simplicity of the system anymore. They are basically no longer working for us. Different things are calling for different things. And I guess, yeah, we can account for all the variations and group them, but again, we end up with questionable complexity and strange groups and components and field collections, and it just kind of complexifies from here. One wonderful example that you need to know about is that some very smart people don't want to have a password. One smart cat decided you shouldn't have a password, that he will only store your email. And to log in, you just enter your email again, and then he will send you a link to click on. And when you click on it, you will be logged in. Really cool. And as a result, you can't forget your password because you don't have one. That is a pretty crazy and unique dynamic as far as most password systems are concerned. And it is so unique that it is hard to generalize and classify and group in a uniform way. It is hard to abstract without rewriting code. If Bob, for example, chooses not to have a password, then he can't have an update your password box in his profile. That means you have to go in there and code that exception in ugly, that and 100 other exceptions for different variations in the system. It's gonna get super crazy, super ugly, and super strange. We had this wonderful JavaScript, ORM, REST, and objects, and URL paths all coming together. And now it is an explosion of user interface complexity and workflows, because Bob is not who he says he is, like, at all. His real name is Mallory, and no, he does not belong to a don't leak all the internal repos red team. Mallory is malicious. He will try to change the password, even though he is passwordless, and he will try 1,000 other things, and one of them will grant him remote code execution. And that one thing is always obscured by the explosion of complexity as described above. We will somewhat remember to disable the change your password in the UI for passwordless users, but will we remember to code a system that prevents the submission of the form if Mallory re-enables the UI based on research from one of his other accounts? Yes, having the ability to change the password field for a user that doesn't use passwords can't get you hacked, probably, but it is proof that the system has failed, that the system integrity can be violated by external malicious users. It's proof that the system is inconsistent. The abstractions are leaking. Mallory is already telling tech support that he never enabled passwordless. Will this escalate his privileges? Yes. You know how? Red herring. His problem is fixed. He can log in like before. But there is just one more problem that he needs help with. He needs more help. And now that he praised tech support, the tech support gets a little problem fixed smiley face. Tech support now likes Mallory. Tech support will not think twice to click the link that Mallory just sent them with great thanks. Tech support wants to help. And your business just ended up on the list of data breaches on Wikipedia. 14,870,304 of your users, all of your customers, were leaked by helpful tech support being fed a red herring to establish trust. At this point, we could almost forgive Microsoft for creating TypeScript, because we could use a little breadcrumb path to at least mangle our cute automatic REST to stop allowing password change for passwordless users. Just in case it is used as a red herring in a fast-paced, cheerful, and feel-good dance of privilege escalation in Bangalore. This is why you need to become a programmer. If you start in high school, you will surely invent a consistent, automatic system that prevents the leakage of abstractions that create these tiny, seemingly unimportant errors, but get social engineering a foothold, enough so to escalate all the way out. We don't need a better IDE or more typed languages with IntelliNonsense. We need you, because to you this is a game, and the game is the solution. Multi-user dungeons object-oriented, to be precise. Moo and mud. You see, REST is good, really good, but WikiWiki teaches us the power of consistency. What if we had locations, like Wikipedia has articles? Or rooms, like Wikipedia has articles? If you are allowed to cross the pathway into a location or room because you have a password key, then you can update your password. If you don't have this feature in your inventory or pocket, then you can't access that location. To be clear, I am describing a tiny mechanism that builds on top of ORM, and though it has paths, those are not RESTful paths or REST paths. They are of the dungeon world. They are an anthropomorphized world of objects, and this is tiny and efficient. Nothing at all like some bloated VI world. Rails, Strapi, or CakePHP even, is all the proof that objects and properties can be defined with a normal user interface. ORM objects can be built by non-programmers. If MUD can replicate the paths of REST and make them even more secure, then the company you invent can allow for web application programming by people who don't like code. Not because they can't program or don't want to learn, but because they can sense that it is the old way that better abstractions can be had. Like programming web applications through a kind of a game. Oh, sure, it sounds goofy. You are walking around dungeons after all. But if Mallory touches that password door without the correct key in his inventory or pocket, he gets eaten by a Gru and kicked out of the system. His account is completely suspended. Maybe we need to consider that pretending that abstractions are not leaky is goofy, and that using an intelligent system that resembles the mechanic of a real world isn't goofy, but wonderful. You are looking at highly sophisticated security systems that are as easy to comprehend for a human as using a key to unlock a door, or check out an article from the user's home library. It may even be the key to strong AI that can actually improve itself. Because why stop here? Anyways, when you have a Gru on your blue team that consistently chomps red team members, the world becomes a much happier place. For those of you who are struggling to come up with a name for this new and groundbreaking technology, I offer complete and thorough protective electronic armor, or CATP for short.